Hello everyone and welcome to this week's Lemon Snout Podcast with me, Gary Jones. How you all doing? Now I've got a brilliant show lined up for you today with the one and only Carl Rosier Jones. Now his book, The Caveman Principles, has sold loads of copies and is available on Amazon. We're going to be talking to him about the key principles about The Caveman Principles, but also talking about how men maybe aren't the best at showing their emotions and keeping it all within, and how we should be a little bit more open, and Cole will give you a few techniques to be able to do that. Now, if you do like this interview, please check out everything else that Carl has done, and let's get cracking with this interview with me and Carl. Let's take it away. So today I'm joined with Carl Rosier Jones, the author and the founder of The Caveman Principles. Thank you very much, Carl, for joining us.
You're welcome, and thanks for having me, at least come along to talk to me.
No, it's great. We met, just to give a bit of context, at the Warwickshire Wellbeing Fair last March or May, I forget when it was. So it's been an exciting year, and I've seen you out and about in different events.
Yeah, I've been trying to spread the love around. I've been obviously handing out my books left, right and centre to loads of people. And things for me have just been on the up. Everything's been growing and my book is turning into a big success. So I'm very proud and I'm quite humbled that it's happened. But yeah, that's great.
Well, you should be very proud. I can remember sitting in your workshop, your seminar workshop that you did at the Warwickshire Wellbeing Fair, and it was one thing I loved about it. It was just very simple knowledge that you were departing, but actually you phrased it in a way that just made sense, and it was just dead simple to understand.
Thank you. And that was the plan. That was the whole idea. It wasn't to bore people with another self-help book, you know. It really was to give an insider's look to stress, and hopefully pass some knowledge across that people can use, and that was the whole idea.
Cool. So we'll talk a bit about the book and about the different details and chapters in a second. But can you let us know a little about the background leading up to the book and where the book came from?
Wow. Okay. Yes.
So I can remember you wearing different hats, if I remember correctly.
That was part of my talk. Yes, the whole ideas behind this is that in 2000, the year 2000, I decided that I wanted to start wearing hats. So for the last 16 years, I've decided I wear all different types, long ones, tall ones, short ones, full face covering ones, you name it. I've gone out looking for different hats, and that was in the mainly in the police. But also, I decided that wasn't dangerous enough, so I went and joined up with the Air Force Reserves, I had some more hats handed to me to wear. Those were fantastic hats. I loved every one of those. The feeling of the pride and the sense of belonging is immense. It was what I was looking at, or what I was looking for, and that was what was delivered. Cool. The whole thing of the hats has turned into kind of like a personal career as to how many hats can I collect. And in those roles I held in the police and also in the Air Force, I held subsidiary roles as well. So there was more hats for me to get hold of and more hats for me to try on and more hats for me to collect. And that's pretty much what I did.
Cool.
And that was until about 2011, when kind of pretty much my world imploded, I suppose.
Okay, so without going into too much detail, because it was quite a harrowing time, what happened in 2011 for your world to kind of implode?
Well, I was at work, not expecting to be dealing with much other than my normal humdrum of policing, and I got sent to a job in January. It was a domestic. Somebody had reported that they'd been beaten up by their partner. Mm-hmm. Again, this is something that you deal with on, if not a daily, at least you deal with two or three of these a day in normal policing work.
So it's quite a common occurrence, that.
Yeah, it's almost like the bread and butter of policing. It's protecting those that can't protect themselves, and they want help. So you turn up, you do your best you can, you try and deal with these situations. Remembering there's always two sides to every story, so you have to play things. You can't go in like a bull in a china shop. You have to just say everybody that's there and do the job properly. So we were doing these day in and day out, and then I got sent to this one in January 2011, and this individual decided that he wasn't going to play very nice. So he pulls out a gun and shoots at me 3 times.
Wow.
I generally thought I was going down. I thought this was it. My colleague ran out the room because she thought I'd gone down as well.
Yeah.
And so I thought I just might as well fight to the end. So while I was fighting, he managed to pull the trigger 3 more times and shot at me 3 more times. I then had to fight his friend. I then had to fight his dog. I mean, it was just all going horribly wrong in this tiny little living room in this house.
Yeah.
Ultimately, after about what felt like 3-4 hours worth of fighting, it was probably only less than a minute, I realised that I was still standing and this bloke was in handcuffs. So,
Wow, what can you say to that? That's crazy. So you were shot 6 times. And
yeah, it transpires that they were blanked, but at the time I thought, this was it, this was me, this is my time, or, farewell world.
Yeah. So I'm guessing that was pretty much a reassessing time of your life where you just thought, what's important and what do I need to do?
Not really, no? Because what happened then is when I dragged this individual into the police station, by the time I'd dealt with all the paperwork and everything else, I then had to deal with it. And the reason I had to deal with it, because 4 weeks after this incident, I was due to be going off to Afghanistan with the Air Force.
Okay.
So I was swapping hats, and it was something that should have been dealt with, but because of situations and places I found myself in, I had to... I was trying to deal with it best I could in the time that I had.
Wow, so how did you deal with it and what happened after that?
Well, I did the bloke thing, didn't I? That's try and forget about it, push to the back of your mind and try and get on with life.
Okay.
So, and I'm guessing pretty much what I did.
And did that work for you or not?
For a few years, yeah. I came back from Afghanistan, I went back into the police, I carried on working, and then in 2014, I suppose I was quite fortunate within those 3 years, but 2014 I got sent to the same address, or at least an address 2 doors down from where this had happened.
Okay.
And that was my first experience of PTSD. Didn't know it at the time, and it took me about 10 months to get through that first episode. Without having any diagnosis or any specialist input or stuff, so I had to sort that all out myself.
Wow, that's challenging. That, from someone who hasn't experienced it, but hearing your story, it's crazy to imagine you going through that without any support whatsoever. Or is it quite common for that?
Part to do with the organisation, but there's also part to do with the individual.
Okay.
And for me, being a bloke, and I mean, the roles that I fulfilled were manly butch types. You don't put your hand up and say, excuse me, but, I can't really cope with this anymore. You're not expected to do that. You have to get your head down. You have to get in there. When the next fight comes, you have to jump on top and, show you're willing and, So, yeah, it was a difficult time for me to accept what was going on, but also for me to put my hand up and say, hold on a minute, lads and lasses, I need help.
Yeah.
So that's basically the whole foundation as to where I am today and what I'm doing with my caveman principles.
So that links nicely on. So what are the caveman principles and how did you use them to kind of get out of where you were?
Well, it was those 10 months that I was struggling with, the first round of the PTSD type, I suppose. I went off, I did counselling, I went on different courses, I read books, I did everything I possibly could think of in my mind to try and understand what was going on. A lot of the books were really preachy. Some of them was quite, let's call it too spiritual for the manly man that I was trying to be. The people that I was speaking to in counselling and off on courses, they were all very much misunderstanding the situation I found myself in, which is I'm a man in a man's world trying to deal with something that isn't considered manly.
Okay, yeah.
So everything I tried doing fell very short of the mark. However, that in all those little bits that I was able to complete, and things like NLP, neuro-linguistics programming, CBT, cognitive behavior therapy, I did a communication course, all those things. Out of all those courses I attended and the books that I read, I actually picked up some really good hinters and pointers that could get me over this.
Okay.
And so from those little bits I pulled together, cutting out all the stuff I thought was too, let's call it airy-fairy or whatever in the man's world. And that's what I worked through. I used those aspects of those learnings and teachings, and I produced something that I was able to use. And I came out the other side with a better understanding, and suddenly I had control of this condition that was inside of me.
Okay. So what is the basis of the Caveman principles in that case?
Well, the principles themselves, the caveman principles, was originally written from a man to a man, because I've been there, I know what it's like, you don't want to put your hand up and all those sorts of things.
Yeah.
So I didn't want it to be a preachy book, I didn't want it to have all this information.
Yeah.
And how I've written it is to deliver information to those individuals, those who wish to read it, so that they understand the complexities of stress and the complexities of the human behaviours behind stress. The principles themselves are the fight or flight routine that the cavemen had during the days of yonders, of how they survived and how they managed to turn into who we are today, I suppose. And all those conditions that they had back then still apply to us today. So all the bits and pieces, all the gubbins inside still work. I suppose the only differences between then and now is our teeth are probably a bit straighter, might be a bit whiter, and we might have shorter hair. But other than that, we're exactly the same.
Okay.
So the things that caused the caveman themselves to suffer that fight or flight response is still here today. But we don't experience that life or death situation that they did back then.
Okay. So if you're looking to use the caveman principles in your day-to-day life, as we haven't got the flight or flight, the life or death situations, how would you?
It's no longer about telling people what they have to do to get over it.
Okay.
My whole principles are, if I give you the information, if I give you the tools, and if I give you the ability to identify, and I call them stress maps in our lives, because just like the caveman back in the olden days when they were faced with a mammoth, they either had to run away or stand and fight. Well, it's no different today. We still have those situations and those stresses in our lives. They might not be real life mammoths, but they are mammoths in their own way. So things like, and this is where the education comes in, of if you can feel a mammoth coming or you can identify a mammoth, and those things can be a really badly worded email. We've all been there, you know, whether you suddenly had an email from either your boss or from somebody else, and they've said, "Gary, come and see me in my office."
Your heart sinks.
There you go. And that's just it. It's only a few words.
Yeah.
And what happens is that you've read that and it feels like a mammoth attack. You might turn your computer around to your colleague and say, "Here, Carl, have a read of this. What do you think the boss wants?" And I lean over and I read it and I'll say, "Well, he just obviously just wants to have a chat." So I don't see that same threat within the email.
Yeah.
However, if you're not aware that that's a mammoth producing himself in front of you, you're not going to be able to control it. So you're now going to go in the manager's office, your heart rate's going to be going up, you're thinking, oh no, I'm going to be sacked, oh, what have I been doing wrong? You're going through a thousand different things. And then all he's going to do is turn around and say, how are you getting on with the Jobson job or whatever?
Yeah.
And you're going to be such a mess. All you're going to be able to probably say is, yeah, it's going all right, because your mind's not with it. You've been attacked by a mammoth. You're thinking, what can I do? And you can't stand there and fight, and you can't run away, or you get sacked. So all you can do is hold it in. And this is the more recent thing that we have, is the stress that builds up. We call it now the freeze. So we have the fight, flight, and the freeze. So all that adrenaline and all those nasty toxins that are going around that's supposed to prevent you from being killed, they're just being bottled up. They're not being burnt off. They're not being allowed to dissipate in your body. They just sit there. And ultimately what they do is they settle into the nasty bits of your body, or should I say the soft bits of your body, turning those soft bits into nasty bits, without going into too much detail.
So
it's about people understanding that, being able to identify your mammoth, your stress mammoth. And if you can identify them, you can either avoid them, or if you can't avoid them, you can deal with them head on and still be in control. So that's the idea of the stress part of the book.
Gotcha. Okay. And that's quite a simple methodology to kind of follow, really, isn't it? Because you've got it, you can apply that to business, you can apply that to life, any kind of type of situation. You will come across a situation that you might not be able to interpret.
Exactly, and that's what it is, that all the books and all the courses I went on failed to deliver that message, which is, we have control of this. Well, we have complete control of our own lives, but we have control of this stress button as well, the one that causes us to have all these feelings, wanting to run away and or hide, or but no, you know, if you can identify and you know what those situations are, you can then at least prepare for it. And if you prepare for it, at least then you can manage it, I suppose. So that's
where
I'm
going
now.
That's it. Cool. And with all the situation that you've been through, and obviously you've wrote the Kahneman Principles, and you can now buy that in different places, and we'll go on to that side of it in a bit. How are you getting on now, and how are you managing your mammoths?
Yes, that's a good one. Mammoths themselves will always be there. You'll always, no matter how much you prepare for it, when they come, it's still a challenge. And you have to make sure that you're able to deal with your mammoths every day.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think of one today. Do you know what? I know where one of the mammoths are. Somebody used up the milk in my house and I couldn't get a cup of tea.
So no.
There was a mammoth waiting for me in the fridge. When I opened the door, there was no milk. A bit stressful. All I could have then was black tea. But little things like that, they build up over a period of a day. If it's only milk that's run out, you could probably cope with that. If it's milk run out and you've missed the postman and you've got a parcel now that you've missed delivery, or your car needs to go into the garage. You know, all these different mammoths are sat there waiting for you. If you can identify that they're sat there, perhaps you can prepare for it. Like if someone had shouted up the stairs to me earlier, we ran out of milk, then there you go. That mammoth hiding in the fridge wouldn't have been such a big shock to me.
True.
So it's just about being aware of it. And when they do raise their ugly heads, and mammoths are pretty ugly, think of an elephant with lots of hair and probably smellier as well.
Yeah.
You know, these things can be quite frightening.
No, that's cool. So how could people get hold of the book if they wanted to find out a little bit more about it?
Well, yes, the book. I have a copy here in my hand. We have lots of copies here at Cave HQ. And if you look for me, either cavemanprinciples.co.uk or carlrosierjones.com. They'll be in the shop there. If not, it's on Amazon, which I believe on Amazon as of today, when I checked earlier, I've got 16 five-star reviews.
Cool.
Not all from friends and family, let me just point that out.
There were four bad before you said it, but that's fine.
Not all from friends and family, because I wouldn't trust my friends or family to write anything decent on there. I'm incredibly humbled that people have bought my book and have felt it worthwhile to write a review on Amazon, let alone it being a five-star one. It's $14.99 in shops. You can get it in Waterstones, in Smith's, pretty much any decent bookshop.
Brilliant.
As I say, it's on Amazon, Kindle, Kobo, iBooks, and all the rest of the electronic formats I believe you can get. Pretty much if you just Google the Caveman Principles and make sure it's got the yellow cover on it, you can pretty much get it from a dozen different places.
I was going to say, it doesn't sound like a platform or a place where you won't be able to get it from, so it'd be fine. You've got it covered.
Yeah, you should be able to lay your hands on a copy.
Cool. Now, I know I saw you first of all at the Welsh About Wellbeing Fair. Are you speaking at any other events, or have you got any other cool events coming up soon?
I have, as it happens. I've been very fortunate to have been asked to do an evening with the Caveman, and that's on the 8th of March. And for 2.5 hours, I have an audience that's going to come along to listen to my Caveman talks.
Cool.
And at the end of it, I hope that they'll be as excited about the Caveman Principles as I am. And the tickets themselves for that show is available through the Bohemian Balcony in Swindon.
Okay.
And to be honest with you, we've decided to do it as cheaply as we can, and tickets are only £6 each. Now,
what?
There's a lot
£6
of interest
each?
In it. Six, six.
Okay.
Zero, six. Six as in number six.
Wow.
Six. Being a caveman, I need three and three.
There you go.
Six.
Cool.
£6. But yeah, it's actually about getting the message out, or getting my caveman principles out there so that people can understand what they need to do. And it really is to reduce stress. My whole idea behind the Caveman Principles is I want to change the world. I want to make it a less stressful place to live.
Yeah.
So if I can do this for the 70 people that are there, I've managed to change 70 people's worlds.
Perfect.
And to me, that's what it's about.
Yeah, too right. Are you going to any kind of other wellbeing fairs in different areas over the year?
Well, since we saw you last, where have I been? I've been to, I've been down to Froome, another wellbeing fair. I've been to Gloucester, Swindon. I've been down to, I think I did one down in Salisbury Way. I've been back to London. Trying to think where else.
Have you got any kind of planned in the future? Just so people know where they can kind of meet you.
Well, I've got just local at the moment. I'm still looking to increase the number of ones I'm attending. Everything seems to be getting quite busy at the moment. I've got another talk. Actually, I have a talk in July at the Alarm Conference in Manchester University.
Oh, cool. Okay.
I believe that's the 6th and 7th of July, something like that. I'm speaking with another couple of people. I've got one in London, North Wales, hopefully in May, if that comes off. I've got another one. Where's the other one? The other one's Cardiff Way, somewhere down that way.
Cool.
So there's lots of different places and lots of different people.
Lovely.
But I'm always interested in speaking. And yeah, my calendar's filling up, but I still have a little bit of space if people still want to sort of contact me. But yeah.
Brilliant. And if they did want to get in contact with you, how would the best way of doing it?
Either through my website, the cavemanprinciples.co.uk or carlrosejones.com. Give me a call, send me an email. You can tweet me. I'm on Twitter, at Carl Rosier Jones. On Facebook, The Caveman Principles. If you type in either my name or The Caveman Principles, you should be able to find me quite easily. So, yeah.
Hey, brilliant. Well, thank you very much for your time today. We'll catch up again probably later on in the year, see how you're getting on. And, yeah, all the best.
Thanks very much.
Cheers. Thank you so much, Carl, for that absolute brilliant interview. Now, the event that we spoke about has obviously been and gone, but please check out his Facebook page and website for all the latest information. Now, if you do want to find out more, please search his book, The Caveman Principles.
since actually recording that interview, he's actually in process of writing his second book, which is going to be even better than The Great Caveman Principles. So check out Amazon, check him out on Facebook and his website, and thank you very much, Carl, for spending the time talking to me. Now, if you do like this interview, please check out the radio show that I do on Radio Warwickshire called The Limited Hour Radio Show every Monday and Wednesday. Have a great week, everyone, and I will see you next time.